We didn't do anything to deserve what God gave us. It was only by his mercy that he gave us that. So why should we praise God? Because he deserves it. He absolutely deserves our praise. When we could not do what he did for us, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. And in the midst of our lives daily, we still can't earn what he gave us. The second reason I think that we need to continue praising God in the midst is it is expression of love to God. It's how we express our love to God is through our praise. Here's what I know. People express love in different ways. Dan is very good at really knowing who I am and knowing what I like. And oftentimes, I will come home and find that he has bought me something. It'll come in the mail. He'll say, I got you. Something will show up, and he goes, I got you something. One of my favorite things was my Mickey Mouse purse. He knows how much I love Disney. He got me a Mickey Mouse purse. But in our almost 26 years of marriage, that has been a constant. Dan expresses his love to me by constantly surprising me with things. He often expresses his love to our friends and our families and people in our congregation by service. That's how he expresses his love. My sister-in-law, she expresses her love the same way I do, through food. She is a whirlwind of a cook, but when you get her food, you know that's her expressing her love. So we all express love in different ways. But so how do we show God our love? Because I'm not going to order something on Amazon for God. He doesn't need me to fix anything for him. He's already the greatest fixer of all time. And I can't bake a cake for him, right? So we show him love by through praise. And it says, this is not up there, but it says in 1 John 14:19, we love because he first loved us. He ultimately showed us what love looked like. And so because he loves us and showed us what love is, we can then in return love him. Let's look at what it says in Psalms 103:4. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Whoever, in 1 John 1:4-8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Then Psalm 67:5 says, May the peoples praise you. God, may all the people praise you. Right there, may we praise him. He wants us to praise him. That shows our love for him by praising him. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. Does it say how good it is to sing praises to God only in the good times? When things are great, it's easy to praise God. But it doesn't say only in the good times it's fitting to praise God. Guess what? It's fitting to praise God all the time. And he tries to do it every now and then from the pulpit. He'll say, God is good. And then people are supposed to reply back, all the time. And then he's supposed to reply, all the time. And then we reply, God is good. It fails on us miserably all the time. He prompts us often, but we miss it. But all the time, in the good, in the bad, we are to praise him. Psalm 75:1 says, did we not get that one? All right, that's fine. We'll just go on. No big deal. You got the idea of that one. Number three, another reason why it's important to praise God in the midst of the muck is because we gain perspective on our problems and we begin to heal. When we focus on us and our problems, I feel like it puts us in a tunnel, and that's all we can see. And I don't know if it's a me thing. I don't know if it's a woman thing. I don't know if it's a personality thing. But when I focus on me and my problems, I have a tendency to magnify those problems, that they look so much bigger to me than they really are. I'm going to give you an example, and you're going to find me ridiculous, but this is just how my brain works. When Dan and I were first married, we lived in a small town called El Centro. So while we were in El Centro, I became pregnant with Daniel. While I was pregnant with Daniel, I ended up on bed rest for 7 months. Daniel, you owe me a lot. That was a long time of bed rest, boy. During that 7 months I was on bed rest, Dan was trying to lose weight. And he was doing a slim fast, but doctor recommended, doctor supervised kind of slim fast thing. He was trying to exercise, and so he would ride his bike. And so I was laying in the bed. He had brought me my lunch. He had said to me, all right, I'm going to go for a bike ride down to the church. We lived in Imperial. Our church was in El Centro. I don't know how far it was, a few miles. In my head, I assumed that's a 30-minute bike ride to there and back. He should be home soon. 30 minutes comes and goes. Dan is not back yet. Prior to days of cell phones, remember that. Prior to days of cell phones. So there was no cell phone. So he, 45 minutes later, he is still gone. An hour later, he is still gone. Now, in my little mind, in my world, I'm thinking, wow, that's a long time. I wonder if he got into an accident. He is on a bike. Anything could have happened. And as the minutes, I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. I'm just laying in the bed. And so in my, probably every minute to me felt like 10 or 15 minutes. Every minute he wasn't home. And so honestly, I don't know how long he was gone. But I will tell you this. By the time he had gotten home, I was laying in the bed. I was crying my eyes out. I had already pictured him dead along the side of the road. I had pictured what the funeral was going to look like. And I had pictured myself in the delivery room giving birth without Dan around. And how sad that was going to be. He walked in the door and said, what's wrong? Oh, nothing, never mind, I'm fine. But you see how when we focus on ourselves, when we focus on our problems, we can magnify them and make them seem worse. We often need perspective. We need perspective on what God says, who God is. David is a perfect example of what that looks like. In 2 Samuel, verses 15 through 23, I'm going to kind of give you a background. Most of you already know this. David had an affair with Bathsheba. David ended up killing Bathsheba's husband so that it wouldn't look all hanky-panky and like he was doing something wrong. Bathsheba gives birth to the son. David goes on with life as though nothing is wrong. The prophet Nathan comes to David and gives him this scenario and says, oh, David, there's a shepherd out there that has a little lamb or has 100 lambs, and he sees the shepherds over here that has one lamb, and he steals that one lamb from the shepherd. What do you think should be done? And David's outraged by this. This is ridiculous. This should not be. And the prophet says, that's you. And so because of this, Nathan says to him, there's going to be judgment upon your family. Well, what happens? The child that Bathsheba gave birth to becomes ill. And so we see in verse 12, 14 through 23, we get a little bit of David's mindset. It says, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted, and he spent the nights lying in sackcloth on the ground. The others of his household stood beside him to get up from the ground, but he refused. He would not eat any food with them. Is there more? Or is that the end of that one? Okay. Then on the seventh day, the child died. David's attendants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, he couldn't even listen to us when we spoke to him. How can we now tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. I can't even imagine being in the state that David was when you're told, when you think that your child is going to die. For a parent, there's nothing worse than that. Nothing worse. I can't even imagine. David noticed that the attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground. After he had washed and put on lotions and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord. He worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and at the request, they served him food, and he ate. His attendants asked him, why are you acting this way? Why, while the child was alive, you fasted and you wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat? And he answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that the child is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? Will I go to him, but he will not return to me? So we see David was in the midst of the worst, deepest, darkest pain that there could be for a parent. That life was horrible for him at that moment in time. We may not all be able to relate to a child dying, but we can all relate to having a difficult time and feeling like we need to cry and be, we're just in misery. Let's look at, here's what I love about David, that he wrote out his feelings, that he was constantly pouring out his heart to God. When he was happy, when he was sad, in all of things, he was constantly pouring out his heart to God. This is what he wrote during that time when his son was dead. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Is there more? There we go. Then I will teach transgressors your way so that the sinner will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips and my mouth that I will declare your praise. He ends with, I will declare your praise. We recognize that even in the midst of heartache, we have a good perspective of who God is and what he can do and how he can accomplish things when we praise him when we're going through things. Number four, why we should praise God even when we don't want to, even in the midst of the junk. Because God is good, even when everything else looks dark. Psalms 103:5 says, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Ephesians 1:3, praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God is good, and he has given us gifts. And he has blessed us. Even when it looks dark, he is still blessing us. Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. That was Joseph. Remember Joseph? Remember what happened to Joseph? Remember his really mean older brothers that sold him into slavery? Remember that they not only sold him into slavery, but then once he got into this place, then he ended up in jail? Remember after he ended up in jail, where did he end up? Second in command right under the king. Because God ordained all of these steps for him. Everything. God knew his brothers were going to do this to him. he was going to end up in jail. And that seems pretty low on the scale of my life is not going the way I planned. My life is not doing what I wanted it to do. But guess what? God can even turn that around. He is so good that he can take the darkest of times and turn it around. And Joseph knew it. He said to his brothers who had come back and were begging for food and then were scared because of what they had done to him, he said, "Don't you worry about it. What you intended for good, for bad, God intended for good." Whether your circumstance is caused by you, whether your circumstance is caused by COVID, whether your circumstance is caused by our government, by other people, by somebody who has hurt you, by financial ruin, let me tell you this. God can turn it around for good. He is worthy of our praise because he can turn every situation we have around for good. He can use anything that seems impossible. Guess what? Our God is in the business of the impossible. Look in the Bible. Everything he does seemed impossible to man, but not impossible to God. So many people think that God is a harsh God. So many people think that he is angry, that he is just stern. Like people have this vision of God as a stern, harsh God. But I want to tell you that our God is merciful, that our God is tender, and that he is good to the point that when we're hurting, he is hurting. When we cry, he cries. Thinking back to the story of Lazarus, he told his disciples before Lazarus died, Lazarus is one of his great friends. He's going to die. But it's not going to end the way everybody thinks it's going to end. And so when he gets to Martha and Mary and all the mourners that were following him, they're all super sad. And it says three times in those scriptures in Luke chapter 11, it says three different times, Jesus was moved. He already knew what was going to happen. He already knew that at the end, Lazarus was going to come back to life, but he was moved by the heartache of the people that were there and were sad. And in those scriptures it says, Jesus wept because he was so moved and sad for everybody else that was sad. That's the sign of a good God. That is a sign that God is good, that he doesn't stand back and go, "Oh, well, sorry it's not working out for you this time. You were a little late. Too bad." A good God has compassion. Our God has compassion. Our God is good. When we are going through the muck, our God has compassion on us. Thank you, Jesus, that you will have compassion with me when my life seems out of control. That is worth praising him for. All right, how do we praise God when we don't feel like it? That's the tough question. How do we do it? How do we praise God when it is just downright hard? And I'll be the first to admit, I have had those days where it is just difficult, where I just don't want to, where I just am burdened by what's happening in our family. But regardless, I know that I can do a couple of different things. Number one, I can remember. I can remember the things that the Lord has done in my past. Do you know that in the Bible, God is constantly telling his children to remember? The Passover. The whole reason that the Passover celebration was started was so that the Israelites can remember what God did for them, that he took them out of Egypt, that they have a whole thing lined up so that they can remember To this day, they still celebrate it so they can remember what God did for them. We have something that we do so that we can remember what Christ did for us. Communion. We take part of that. It reminds us that Christ died for us, that he rose again, that the Bible is filled with times when God says, I want you to remember this. This is important. And he sets up things for them to do to remember them. It is important for us in our everyday lives to remember the things that God has done for us, where God has brought us out of, what God has brought us into. Praise Jesus that God brought me out of what I was living in when I was a young kid and brought me to a place of redemption. I praise Jesus for the things in my life that happened all the time. Sometimes you have to write them down so that you can remember. I have a very forgetful brain. I'm going to remember the big stuff. I'm going to remember. I spent 7 months in bed rest with Daniel. Praise the Lord, I still have a kid. I can remember, we had a couple of really tough times. I can remember big things. Sometimes I don't remember the little things. But if I write them down, I can go back and say, hey, look at all the stuff God has done for me. Psalms 103:2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Next one. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Isaiah 12:5, sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to the whole world. Isaiah 63:7, I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised. According to the Lord, he has done for us. Yes, many good things he has done for Israel, according to the compassion and many kindness. Is there more? I think there's two more. All people will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. And then Psalm 66:16, come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. In order to tell somebody what God has done, we have to remember the things that God has done. And guess what? When you want to remember something God has done, the best thing to do is to talk about it. Because the more you talk about things, the more you remember. I think that's how that goes. Sometimes Dan tells me a lot of things that he forgot he told me. But supposedly, if you say things, the more you say them, you hear them, it's going to implant. All right. Number two, the second thing we can do is the Nike slogan. Just do it. Do. Just do. Let's look at these verses. Psalms 44:8. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. The do there? We're going to boast about God, and we're going to do it forever. Psalms 147:7. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. All right, well, we're not going to play harps, but you get the idea. Andy plays a great guitar. And we're going to sing music. We're going to sing his praise through songs. Next one. Hebrews 13:6. So we will say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? We're going to speak truth. What that is we're speaking truth. That God is bigger than everything else. Psalm 69:30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Again, you want to get out of your funk? The best thing to do is sing praises to God. you're feeling low? Sing praises to God. Sing praises to God. I want to end with these two verses. And let's end with this. Psalm 75:9. It says this: "As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob." We need to take that stand in our lives and say, look, no matter what happens, it's not about how I feel. Because when we start to say, I don't feel like doing this, I don't feel like doing that, I don't feel like going to church, we let our feelings dictate to us. And here's what I know. Here's what the Bible says. Our feelings will mislead us. But Psalm 75:9 says this: "As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob." Look, I'm going to declare it. I'm going to state it. I'm going to say it. This is what I'm going to do. I want to say to you that there are times when it is difficult. And there have been times when I have been in a church and I have been so broken and I have been so hurt. And I have just felt beat up, that I could not get the songs out of my lips. But I stood before the Lord in my chair while the music was going, and I raised my hands, and I mouthed whatever I could mouth, and the tears ran down my face. That was my praise. And God knew the praise of my heart, even though I could not mouth words, and I couldn't get it out. My heart was, I will declare you God, and I will praise you despite how I feel. Because when we're in the muck, we don't feel like praising God. But when Psalm 75:9 says, I will declare this forever, I will praise you God, even when I don't feel like it. Even if I can't get it out of my mouth, I will stand before you, Lord, with my hands raised and tears streaming down my face. You are my God, and you have done good things. Psalm 68:35, you are God, you are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. He is awesome in his sanctuary. And even though this is a sanctuary, that's not the sanctuary. He is awesome in us. We are his sanctuary. His people, as his family, we are going to praise him. We are going to praise him together when it's difficult, when it's good, when it's downright hard, when we're mourning, when we're happy, when we're joyful, when we're fearful, when we don't know what's going to happen next. We are going to stand before God and we are going to praise him. Let's pray and then let's praise. Jesus, I thank you that we have reason to praise you in the midst of the muck, in the midst of the ugly, Jesus. You give us reason to praise you. You are our everything. You bring us joy. You give good gifts. You have given us salvation. God, you are a God who we want to adore and love. And Father, more than anything, let this be known. We declare you are our God, and we will praise you in your holy name. Amen.